Well, good morning. God bless you. We are going to open in the book of Habakkuk this morning. It's in the clean part of your Bible. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, towards the end of the Old Testament. When we get together in fellowship like this, there is a very godly design to our fellowships. And the godly design, and I think it's apparent to all of you, is that at the center, at the the very great necessity of us getting together like this is to get into God's Word. I know there's a lot of Christian groups that exalt other things above the Word, maybe the song service or testimonials or other things, but God magnified His Word above all His name. And it's the Word that gives us life. It's the Word that every man needs. You can't live by physical sustenance alone. But you need every word that proceeds from God. And so that's what we get into. I would say the other thing that is certainly prescribed by God every time that the church gets together like this is that we have the utterance manifestations like we just did. And what a blessing to have those operated decently and in order. And some of these things, I look around the room, a lot of us have been here for decades. But we need not take anything for granted. And there is something very fresh about God's Word, even if you've heard it many times before. In fact, this morning we're going to look at something that I believe all of you present here have heard many times before, but it's imperative that it be brought to our minds periodically, and that is the topic of believing. It's about as foundational a topic as there is in the Bible, is believing. Often in our King James Bible, at least translated faith. In fact, I don't really know too many Bibles that translated believing, but better rendered faith. It's from the Greek word pistis. I don't know about you, but that Greek word pistis I was very familiar with before I got in the Word, because I would meet all these people with pistis off. But this is a different kind of pistis, right? But it's something that, for those of us that teach a lot, which I've had the privilege of doing, it's very important that a teaching program, which is over a period of time, be balanced. And part of that teaching program, of necessity, should involve teachings on believing, so that we continue to realize how important and how vital it is. It says in the Bible, without believing, it's impossible to please God. So how important is that?
Yeah.
In the book of Romans, it says, whatsoever things are done without believing are sin. People would have a far different definition of sin if they really saw that in the Word and believed it, than the way most people think of sin. But things done without believing, the Bible says, are sin. I believe, after looking at God's Word for a while, that believing is the essential skill that God's people need to acquire and exercise and develop in their life. It's how you receive from God. And all of us continue to need to receive from God. Answers to prayer, receive from God that which He has promised. So we're going to look a little bit at leaving this morning. There's a section in Habakkuk that is very wonderful. And it starts in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. This is the prophet Habakkuk. He was watching. He was seeking what God would say unto him and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that what? Isn't that a great verse? These were the instructions given to Habakkuk, is the vision that God gave him, that word of God that he sought, that he was looking for. When God gave it to him, write it on tables, and that he may run that reads it. In other words, when people read the word, that they can take it and utilize it, that they can walk upon it, they hear it's described as run with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not what? Lie. That which God says is not a lie. You know, the most reliable information that there is God's word. The greatest commitment ever made was the commitment God made to his word. That every jot, every tittle, every little bit of it is true. It's impossible for God to lie. So the word of God shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. And this is talking about a promise made for the future, something that's hoped for, a promise made for the future. It's not going to lie. It is going to be brought to pass, but you might have to wait for it. You know, some of the things that God has promised for us to believe and receive require patience. Just because God has promised something doesn't mean that it's always going to be brought to pass the first time that you think of it. Certainly one of the major pitfalls for God's people is when they read something in the Word, they see something great that God has promised, they might pray for it, they might ask for it, they might expect it, but if it doesn't happen in their particular period of time, to think, well, I got to go figure something else out. And then they basically quit believing. Have you ever been there? I have. You know, it's important to patiently wait for God to bring his word to pass. Now, some things do come to pass very quickly. Other things might take years. What's the difference? I don't know. It's set in, like here, it's an appointed time. It's not appointed by us either. It's appointed by God. And then it goes on to say, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. You know, if somebody uplifts their soul, their life, above God's word, it's not upright. And it says, but the just shall live by his what? Faith or his believing. Now that's a very familiar verse of scripture, isn't it? The just shall live by what? By believing. That's how you live. It's interesting because this phrase occurs numerous times in the New Testament. It occurs in Romans. We're going to look at it in a minute in the book of Hebrews. The just shall live by believing. And it has different connotations, different applications. There's an aspect of this verse, and you could apply it here in this context in Habakkuk. The just ones, the just, shall live at the time of the resurrection because they have what? Believed. That's one of the potential understandings of this verse. We are all going to live eternal life. We're going to live forever. Those in the Old Testament, those who have died, those just ones, are going to live because they have believed. And they will live in resurrection. It's also interesting that some translations render this verse, the just shall live by his faithfulness. Isn't that also fitting in this context? God's faithfulness to what he said. He's not going to lie. He's going to bring it to pass. That which God has spoken, he's faithful to perform. God's word is faithful. All of those things are part of believing. What we anticipate coming, we patiently wait for, are all part of believing. God's faithfulness to his word is the underlying part of believing. As I mentioned, this verse comes up in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This section leads directly into Hebrews 11, which is, again, a very familiar section of Scripture. Oftentimes when people think of the Bible and they think of places where believing is discussed and taught, our minds go to Hebrews chapter 11. It's certainly one of the most prominent teachings on believing. It's a fantastic section of Scripture. But remember that the chapter headings are inserted by man, and really Hebrews 11, the context starts back in Hebrews 10. Pick it up. It says in verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of what? Reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the what? Promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not what? I don't know about you, but have you ever thought, Jesus, why haven't you come back yet? Right? It's a good question. It would just seem, look, if I was in charge, but I ain't. But see, here, look, it says, yet a little while. It's been since the fall of man. It's been, 6,000 years. But a little while. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And then verse 38, now the just shall live by what?
Faith.
By believing. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul. Again, the just shall live by believing. And again, what the context would indicate, certainly in the future, the just ones shall live forever, by the events of Christ's second coming, the gathering together for the church, the resurrection of the just, all involved here. But it certainly includes today, that we continue to live by believing what God has said. And then it goes on into chapter 11. Now, believing is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Believing is the substance. Do any of you have a note in your Bible? I know a lot of you. I see Dennis's books all scribbled in over there. And, what do you have for the word substance or
foundation?
Foundation, right. That's a very good translation. Stasis. Yeah. Stasis. It's the, you know, there's something underneath it that supports it, the foundation. And it's most other places, it's translated foundation. Now, believing is the foundation of things hoped for. Now, it's interesting because believing is founded upon something. Believing is founded upon, well, whatever I want to happen. Is that the kind of believing that we're talking about? You know, whatever, you know, I think, whatever, you know, is desirable for Doug, that's what believing is based on. God, could you imagine if that was like some human was, had that kind of power or ability? You know, that could be very dangerous. No, it's founded on something. We're going to come back here, but look at Romans chapter 10. There's always a few things to remember when it comes to believing. I mean, you could say every human believes something. But that's not the type of biblical believing we're talking about. Everybody believes something. I guess if you didn't believe anything, you know, at all, you'd be dead. You have to believe something. But the kind of believing we're talking about is described in Romans chapter 10, verse 7. So then faith, pistis, believing, comes by hearing, and hearing by what?
Word.
The Word of God. Believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So believing is based on something. What's it based on?
The Word.
It's believing what God says. That's what we just read about in Habakkuk, isn't it? What God has said. You know, the vision that he gave. What God gave to Habakkuk. That's what to believe. Believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, if you've never heard from God in a particular category of life, then can you believe God? It's impossible. Let's go back. Well, while we're in Romans, go to Romans chapter 4 for a second. I'll go back to Hebrews. Romans chapter 4. Have you ever heard somebody ask a question, you know, do you believe? Have you heard that? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe in a conversation it has some context. But really, you know, like I mentioned, everybody believes. The question is, you know, who you believe. And the question is, what do you believe? Those are really the questions that should be asked. And, okay, you know, what are you believing? You know, who do you believe? This section in Romans 4 is all about Abraham, our father. It asks the question in verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What did Abraham find? What's he found? Later in the same chapter, he's called the father of all of us who believe. You know, what has he found? Well, verse 3, it says, For what saith the scripture? That's always a good question. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed who? God. That's what set Abraham apart, is that Abraham believed God. And then later in that same chapter, it says, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee, Abraham, a father of many nations. So that was what was said originally by God to Abraham. You know, later on, it was written down. So now it's written. It says here, as it is written. Originally it was said, then it was written, but it's the same promise. I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. You know, really the promise made to Abraham when it was made was, you know, you'd say from a census point of view, it was unbelievable. You know, it's way beyond even comprehending. I mean, Abraham and Sarah are past the age of childbearing. They don't have any children. You'd say, you know, no way, Jose. If you looked at the census, if you looked at what was going on, you know, by your physical senses, it's impossible. But God calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, verse 18, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, like it said, it was spoken originally, so shall thy seed be. So it was according to what God had said. Believing is according to what God has said. Believing comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, it's according to what God has said. Now, I mentioned that this is, you know, maybe as basic a skill as, you know, we as Christians can acquire. In your life, I don't think any of us have been called on to become a father of many nations. As far as that. No. Not even my son, Joe. He's only got five. He's working. As he's done. But, I mean, you know, different promises made to different people at different times. But we all do have needs as human beings at different times, right? I mean, we all have things that come up in life. So much of the art of Christian living is to find what God has promised concerning your particular situation, or maybe if you're helping another person, their situation, but what God has promised to meet that particular need, because it starts with the Word of God. Believing is founded upon the Word of God. You know, you could say to somebody, well, just believe. Well, believe what? Abraham had very specific promises given to him. You know, we just read two of them. You know, so shall thy seed be. I shall be a father of many nations. Right? Different promises. And that's what's, it's according to that that you believe. We're not going to look at it, but in 2 Peter, it says, God has given us exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to life and godliness. And it's according to the knowledge of him that we receive those promises, what pertains to life and godliness. So in anything in life or anything in your relationship to God, there have been promises given, exceeding great and precious promises given. Now, part of our responsibility is to find those promises, to know those promises, to patiently wait, if you know those promises, to patiently wait for God to perform those promises. You know, that's our part of it. But if you haven't got the promise first, you haven't even gotten to square one. You're not even in the batter's box. You know, you haven't gotten to first base yet because you haven't gotten the batter's box. See, what has God promised? Now, I know that this sounds really foundational. You know, well, geez, Reverend Seed, I thought I'd learn something new and different today. Well, but let me ask you a question. How much do we apply it? You know, when something comes up, well, okay, what has God said? What saith the Scriptures? You know, what have I found in the Word that pertains to this particular situation? You know, is there any promise in the Word of God about, well, you know, say if you're not feeling good. Maybe if you have some financial difficulty. Maybe if you're having trouble in a relationship. Maybe if I want to get married. You know, maybe, you know, if there's other things that come up. Raising children or grandchildren or, you know, other, you know, like life and godliness. Exceeding great and precious promises. You know, what are the promises? What has God said? It goes on to say, verse 19, and being not weak in believing, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. It would have been easy for them to have thought this is impossible because of my age, deadness of Sarah's womb, you know, it ain't happening. It's interesting. In the Greek, these manuscripts, some of them are, this is a good translation, some of the other Greek manuscripts delete the negatives here, where it says, being not weak in believing, he considered his own body now dead. You know, he knew his own body. You know, that's a good aspect of this as well. It says, he considered his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, and yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, he knew he was about 100 years old, and he knew Sarah's womb was dead. Now, both translations can be fitting. You know, which one it is, I don't know, but the manuscripts are sort of split on this. And it goes on to say, he staggered, verse 20, not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to who? God. He was strong in believing and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, one of the things I saw, I think that will be of interest to you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. It says here, Abraham was strong in believing. So that's one, I don't know how you would say it. What is it? A characteristic of believing is you can be strong in it, which means you get stronger, you become strengthened in believing. You learn how to believe. You know, you're strong in believing. You've exercised yourself and become strong in believing. There's also kind of on the other side of the scale references in the Gospels from Jesus Christ that talk about having little believing. Mm-hmm. And I want to look at some of those. This is very familiar, Matthew chapter 6. It says, where are we? In verse 30, it says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little what believing? I think we're familiar with this context. It says in verse 25, Therefore, I say unto you, take not no thought for your life. Anybody have a marking in your Bible of the words take no thought? It doesn't literally mean don't think about your life. Listen, how are you not going to think about your life?
Be not anxious.
Be not anxious, yeah. Don't worry. You know, modern translation. Don't get stressed. Be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And then it goes, say, you know, so don't worry about clothing. God clothes the lilies of the field. You know, God feeds the fowls of the air, the birds. You know, if he does that, you know, he's going to take care of you. But you can see in here what opposes, I think it's said three or four times in this context, is that phrase, take no thought or don't be anxious. You know, what opposes believing is anxiety, worry, right? That's it. Look at Matthew chapter 8. This is verse 23. When Jesus was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was, what? Asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now, this is particularly interesting when you consider that his disciples, for the most part, were fishermen. You know, very familiar with the sea. This must have been quite a tempest, right? You know, they thought they're going to die. In verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little believing? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You know, why are ye fearful? So, the first place where it talks about having little believing, anxiety was a problem. Here, what's the problem? Fear. Also, you can see in the context, look at verse 18. It says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes apart about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other what?
Side.
To the other side of the lake, the other side of the sea. He gave what? Commandment. It appears that they forgot something. You know, they forgot what he had commanded them to do. Now, let me ask you a question. If they're in this boat and there's this great storm, is it possible if Jesus Christ commanded them to go to the other side that they were going to die? But they seem to have forgot. You know, what we read in Matthew chapter 6 about clothing, about, you know, all your physical necessities being taken. Hey, it's possible that we could forget that God's going to supply all that. You know, no, probably not with this group, but, yeah. No, it is possible, right? You know, forget what the Word says. You know, to be conditioned more by sight than be conditioned by the Word. Look at Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. This is another great record. It says, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit, it's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Verse 29, Jesus said, in English, one word, what's the word?
Come.
Now, there's a variety of ways of, you know, considering that, but if one is, okay, it's available, right? If you receive anything from God, some of us were taught, you got to find out what's available are the promises of God, the promise, come, so simple, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little believing, wherefore did thou what doubt?" You know, what do you have in these first three places we've looked at? Little believing. Doubt, worry, and what? Your fear. You know, that's the other side. That's what, you know, hampers. That's what keeps believing being little. A little believing. Wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind, what? Ceased. There's one other example, Matthew chapter 16. Let's go there. All in the book of Matthew. It says in verse 5, "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread." They didn't bring any bread with them. "And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread." You know, they kind of got mixed up there, didn't they? "But when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little believing, why reason among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up, and neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it then that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." You know, up to the point of this further instruction, you know, they basically forgot. They've forgotten. You know, first they forgot bread, but they forgot the provision that God had made for the 5,000, for the 4,000. You know, they didn't really remember. Jesus Christ reminded them and then taught them of a far greater issue than forgetting to bring bread. Isn't that something? You know, it's one of the reasons that it's good to be reminded of some of the basics. so we don't forget. Sometimes it's easy to forget. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a lousy senses world, and there's very little in it that reminds us of what God has promised, that reminds us of how important it is to believe God. To conclude, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, in light of what we're looking at, I would encourage you to continue to read in Hebrews from where we started, and just look at how believing is tied to patience. It's tied to the patience of having hope. And it's also tied, as we're going to see here in 2 Corinthians, to not going by the senses. Because oftentimes what, you know, God's word says is very contrary to what things appear in the senses realm. You know, we saw that pretty markedly when it came to Abraham and Sarah. I mean, that was, you know, pretty absolutely amazing. It's phenomenal. All the different words, supernatural. But there when, you know, he was 99 years old, Abraham and Sarah was 90, they conceived and brought forth the child of promise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says very simply in verse 7, "For we walk by what? Faith. By believing." You know, so the word walk, you know, characterizes our manner of life. You know, this is how we walk. These are the steps we take day by day. This is, you know, how we walk. You know, in Habakkuk, where we started it, talks about, well, that you might run. You know, kind of a similar expression, maybe you'll get there a little faster. But here it says, we walk by believing, not by what? Sight. You know, earlier in this same chapter, verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, as you read through Hebrews chapter 11, one thing that characterized all the believers that were mentioned there was that they looked forward to the coming of Christ. That was like the pole star. That was what they were looking for. They were looking for his coming. And really, they were looking for not only his first coming, but it's also described in Hebrews chapter 11 for the events of his second coming, because it says that they looked for the city that was to come. They looked for the New Jerusalem. Well, we today look back on his first coming and are so blessed by what he accomplished, by all the wonderful benefits, the spiritual blessings that he's bestowed upon us through the new birth. But now we also, like they were, are patiently waiting for things to come. We see that Jesus Christ is coming back. And, you know, that's not something you can see with your physical eyesight. But, man, we see it in the pages of the Word. And it's that pole star that guides us. It's that pole star that we walk by, patiently waiting for the return of Jesus Christ and believing the exceeding great and precious promises that he's given us to believe now. So a little reminder about what we're doing here. We're the just ones that live by believing. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that you've given us to believe. And Father, the faithfulness that you have to your word, Father, that it's impossible for you to lie, that every promise is true and is not only great, but exceedingly great and so precious. Father, may we continue to have our lives characterized by believing what you say, and Father, not by going by our senses or by what this world offers. Father, I pray for everybody here for our week ahead. It'll be a wonderful week of walking with you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.